السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
الله يرحمه، كيف حالك؟
الحمد لله يا شيخنا.
لنبدأ، تأخرنا.
نعم.
معذرة. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، Our book is Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. Al-Adab al-Mufrad is a book specifically compiled about adab, the conduct of a Muslim, all according to the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and the athar of his companions radiyallahu anhum. We had discussed the adab, our manners and conduct with human beings. And then Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, he began to tell us about our conduct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the things he mentioned to us, our manners regarding dua, because these are the things that we direct to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not direct dua to human beings like us. We direct our supplications to Allah alone. So he taught us, he gave narrations from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam about how our conduct should be when we make dua. Yesterday we commenced another chapter which was about istighfar. And he's called it Babu Sayyid al-Istighfar. The chapter that teaches us about the best expressions to employ when we ask Allah for forgiveness. As if to say the best manner and how to conduct our expressions when we ask Allah for forgiveness. So he called it Babu Sayyid al-Istighfar. The chapter regarding those expressions that are best, most beneficial, most rewarding, quicker to earn us forgiveness from Allah. The best expressions that are quicker and that are better, more beneficial to make us earn forgiveness from Allah. If you say Astaghfirullah, it is from it. When you say the Sayyid al-Istighfar itself, as the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, we read yesterday Hadith 617 and Hadith 620. They have differences in two angles. Difference that had to do with Isnad. Al-Imam al-Bukhari collected the two from two different teachers. Hadith 617, the teacher of Al-Bukhari in it was Al-Imam Musaddad ibn Musarhad. In Hadith 620, his teacher was Abu Ma'mar. And the teacher of Musaddad in 617 was Yazid ibn Zurayya, Abu Muawiyah al-Basri. In Hadith 620, the teacher of Abu Ma'mar was Abdul Warith. Both Yazid ibn Zurayya and Abdul Warith reported Hadith from Hussein ibn Zakwan al-Mu'allim. Hussein ibn Zakwan, that teacher of the people of Basra, was from whom both Yazid ibn Zurayya and Abdul Waris took the report. And then there was a difference with respect to the expressions. In 617, that expression أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت. It came as the last statement, but in 620, it came as one of the statements at the middle of that istighfar. These were the two differences between 617 and Hadith 620. Otherwise, they were practically and entirely the same, both in their chains and in their expressions. So the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, the hadith is the hadith of Shaddad ibn Aus radiyallahu anhu, Abu Ya'la. He reported that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidul Istighfar. The Prophet himself called it Sayyidul Istighfar. So someone can ask you, you say Sayyidul Istighfar, Sayyidul Istighfar. Who told you that is Sayyidul Istighfar? The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He was the one who told us that that expression is Sayyid, is the leading expression. The leading expression from the various expressions of istighfar, from the various language and wordings with which we can ask Allah for forgiveness. Sayyidul Istighfar, the best and the most beneficial and most rewarding of those expressions, was the one he taught, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. Meaning that there is no best statement to use to ask Allah for forgiveness like Sayyidul Istighfar. The Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, he went on to teach us what that Sayyidul Istighfar is. He said it is that you should say, Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani, wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'tu, abu'u laka bi ni'matik wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi, faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. We have read from 617, but in 620, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at, it comes immediately after wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'tu. So the next expression was a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu. And yesterday we gave full explanation regarding that Sayyidul Istighfar. You will find out that all the expressions were praises for Allah and glorifying Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, except that expression when he said faghfirli, faghfirli. And then we have al-isti'adha, when we say a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'tu, I ask your protection from the evil effects, the evil repercussions of my action. Many of us would have suffered evil repercussion of one action or the other. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, as we said yesterday, in Adda'u wa Dawa, he mentioned close to 70 evil repercussions of our actions. If you have an evil action, you always have an evil repercussion. If you commit a sin, there's always an evil repercussion coming after it. So we ask Allah in Sayyidul Istighfar to protect us from the evil repercussions of our sins. We gave an example yesterday regarding Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahimahullah, from amongst the Tabi'un. He was well known for ibadah, and he was well known for knowledge. He was well known from the students of Anas ibn Malik. He insulted somebody, or he said to somebody once, Ya Muflis, oh you bankrupt, oh you poor man, your business has run down. That same thing happened to him 40 years after. He even became imprisoned as a result. We narrated that incident in its full story yesterday in class. Muhammad ibn Sirin, So that was about Hadith 617 and Hadith 620. The assignment we have there is to learn this Sayyidul Istighfar. Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa anta khalaqtani, wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at. A'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at. أبو لك بنعمتك وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي فإنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even gave us a specific reward. Apart from saying this expression generally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned specifically. He said, "Man qalaha min al-nahari muqinan biha." Whoever says this expression, min al-nahar, during the daytime, muqinan biha, believing in the certainty and the truity of the contents of this dua, that Allahumma anta rabbi, la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mastata'at, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at, abu'u laka bi ni'matika wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. If a person said this at a point during the daytime, muqinan biha, believing in the contents of it, certainly فَمَاتَ مِنْ يَوْمِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُمْسِيَ فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. If such a person passes away, مِنْ يَوْمِهِ, that same day that he said it, قَبْلَ أَنْ يُمْسِيَ, before the evening reaches, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, he is from the people of Al-Jannah. وَمَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُوَ مُوْكِنٌ بِهَا. Whoever says this Sayyidul Istighfar wa huwa, while believing in the certainty of it and the expressions of it, he believes in it, he did it intentionally and consciously. Famat, if such a person passes away, qabla an yusbiha, before he reaches the next morning, he said it in the night, before he reaches the next morning, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, such a person is from the people of Al-Jannah. This is evidence that we can say Sayyidul Istighfar after Salatul Maghrib. We can also say it after Salatul Asr. We can say it at late evening. We can say it in the night. In the first report, it mentions that if a person says it either qala hina yumsi famat, so he mentioned masa, in the evening, from late, far late afternoon, if a person says it and he passes away before the next morning, fahuwa min ahli al-jannah. So you can say it either after salatul asri or after Salatul Maghrib, because in 620 it says وَمَنْ قَالَهَا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ, so you can say it at both times. The layl starts with Ghurubu Shams, so you can say Sayyidul Istighfar either after Asr or any time between Asr and Maghrib. You can also say it after Salatul Maghrib. I hope that it is clear. That is if you are looking for this specific reward, but that you just want to say something to come near Allah by way of asking for forgiveness, and you say Allahumma anta rabbi to the end of it, you have your full rewards, and that is the best way to ask Allah for forgiveness. It's like somebody making tawaf, and instead of saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, as he makes tawaf, he begins to say Allahumma anta rabbi, to the end of it during his tawaf. This is encouraged. There is no best expression to say, to ask Allah for forgiveness like this. Sayyidul Istighfar, the Prophet himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, called it Sayyidul Istighfar. In Hadith 618, in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا أحمد بن عبد الله قال حدثنا ابن نمير عن مالك بن مغول عن ابن سوق عن نافع عن ابن عمر قال إن كنا لنعد في المجلس للنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اغفر لي وتب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم مئة مرة إن كنا لنعد في المجلس للنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اغفر لي وتب علي إنك أنت التواب الرحيم مئة مرة. الإمام البخاري mentions this hadith from his Shaykh أحمد بن عبد الله أبو بكر البصري. Ahmad ibn Abdullah Abu Bakr al-Basri, he reports from that well-known Imam Abdullah ibn Numair Abu Hisham al-Kufi. So he said, Haddathana ibn Numair. Ibn Numair, he is Abdullah ibn Numair, and he is reporting from that well-known, from amongst the scholars, very eminent, Malikun ibn Migwal. He was Abu Abdullah al-Bajali. He was well known. The scholars refer to him that kana fadilan. He was a very honorable person. Rajulun salihun. He was, al-Imam al-Ijli said about him, that he was Rajulun Salihun. All those from among these people are known with righteousness. But when the scholars now specifically ascribe one of them to righteousness, it means he has surpassed many of them in the things that they find difficult to do, like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq with respect to the rest of the companions. People, radiallahu anhu, she has been a noble, honorable person, abidan, well known with ibadah. What it means is that he surpasses the rest of the people in these deeds. I usually like to point to points like this because our religion, our being upon sunnah, must not be away from righteousness, from good worship and ibadah. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari, his own sheikh was Ahmad ibn Abdullah. His own sheikh was Ibn Numair. His own sheikh was Malik ibn Migwal. His own sheikh was Muhammad ibn Suqa. Muhammad ibn Suqa Abu Bakr al-Kufi. Most of them were scholars from Kufa, from Abdullah ibn Numair. So here we have Muhammad ibn Suqa reporting from Nafi. We know Nafi, freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar. And he is actually reporting this hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar. So this hadith is coming from someone who was known to always ever be in the company of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, whether the Prophet was at home or he was on a journey. Who was that? Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, Abu Abdurrahman, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhuma. He said, "In kunna lan'uddu fil majlis lin nabiyyi." We would count fil majlis when in a sitting, in a single sitting with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ikhwa, the first point of benefit here is that the companions were always sitting in the company of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. There was a hadith we studied a time from the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, the hadith of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, when his mother was asking Hudhayfa that when was the last time you saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hudhayfa's mother was asking Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, when was the last time you saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Hudhayfa said something in the meaning of it had taken some time, and his mother began to speak negative to him. How did you allow it to take this long, much time? You'd not gone to sit with the Prophet. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman, radiallahu anhu. So he said to us that when his mother said that to him, he decided that the next Salatul Maghrib, he was going to observe it to the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. The point here is that even for the one who stayed away a bit, he was berated by his mother. Why are you staying long away from the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam? So a regular thing the companions did was sit with him. When they sat with him, they were there when some people would come to ask questions. Whenever something was unclear to them, they asked questions. And then he too will guide them. They were always with him. And that was why Allah told us in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. So let us keep company of good people. Keep good company, brothers, because you will make a lot of benefit in that company. Look for a learned person. Always stay with him. Talk to him. Listen to him. Discuss with him. Ask him questions. Let him also talk to you like the Prophet used to talk to his companions. We don't usually refer to them as Atba'u Rasulillah. What do we call them? Ashabu Rasulillah. Because suhba is different from ittiba. Suhba is ittiba plus musahaba. Ittiba is you are following the man. So if it were that they were just following him, we would say they were atba'u rasulillah, the followers. No, they were not just following him, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa radiyallahu anhu. They were not just following him. They were always keeping his company. They were always, in fact, that one became the overwhelming name, companions, rather than followers, radiyallahu anhu. So Ibn Umar, he said, in one such gatherings, if we sat with the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the things you benefit is that you are watching the person you are sitting with. You are noting his conduct. You want to pick something you are not doing to add to your own. So you want to learn from him. You want to see how he dressed, how he spoke, how he addressed people, how he solved problems, how he attended to people, male, female, children. So these are the things you want to observe. On this occasion, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, "In kunna la na'uddu fil majlis lin nabi." In a gathering with the Prophet, na'uddu will be counting. This shows that they were perfectly observing him. They will be counting what he was saying. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa radiyallahu anhum. They will be counting what he was saying. What is that? Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfirli. My Lord, Rabb. We mentioned the importance of this expression, Rabb. Allah likes to be called Rabb, Rabb, Rabb. So he would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rabbi ighfirli. My Lord, اغفر لي, forgive me. رب اغفر لي, oh Allah, forgive me. وتوب علي, توب علي, وفقني إلى التوبة. Guide me to be making and asking for pardon from you. Guide me to be asking for your pardon. And then when I ask for your pardon, توب علي, accept it. If I beg you, Allah, pardon me. Allah, pardon me. Rabbi, توب علي. Oh, grant me tawba. Grant me pardon. Accept it, O Allah. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions were watching him when they sat in the garden, and they will be counting. He would say, Rabbi gfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi gfirli. The Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. Rabbi gfirli wa tub alayya. O Allah, forgive me. Wa tub alayya. Accept my asking you for pardon. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. You are the one who is absolutely pardoning. When you pardon somebody, it is absolute. Ar-Rahim. You are the one who shows mercy to the people. Absolutely merciful, especially to the people of Iman. Ar-Rahim. You are absolutely merciful to the people of Iman. So show me mercy and pardon me. If I ask you for pardon, forgive, pardon me. Forgive me too, Ya Rab. So these are from the best ways to ask for a tawbah. If not, the Prophet would not be saying it. Ibn Umar said, we'll be counting. 1, 2, 3, mi'ata marra. The Prophet will say that 100 times. Rabbi gfir li wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi gfir li wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi gfir li wa tub alayya. Maybe they will say something. Someone will say something, the Prophet will respond. When they kept quiet, he quickly said it again. Rabbi gfir li wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Then somebody will say something, he will say something. Rabbi gfir li wa tub alayya. Instead of keeping quiet, and then the mind begin to wander about. Rabbi gfir li wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. And he was counting, Ibn Umar. He says, kunna na'uddu. Not him alone. There were others too. We used to count. We are observing the Prophet. He used to say it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will be saying it. Rabbi gfir li wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. This is a man that Allah has given guarantee. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. What did he say after that? لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. He is guaranteed forgiveness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for everything before and after. Yet, like he said to Aisha, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a servant who is grateful? And one of the ways to show gratefulness is to be full of ibadah. And she shows us that gratefulness is not just about the mouth. It's also about actions. He will show gratefulness with actions, ibadah, more qiyamul layl, more saying istighfar. I thank you that you already forgive me. But let me say this again. Let me say this again. Let me say this additional. It means that expressions of tawbah, expressions of asking Allah for istighfar, are not just said when we think that we have committed a sin alone. Those expressions, it is not only when you think that you have committed a sin. You say them even when you can't even think about a sin you committed. You can't even remember whether you committed a sin. It means they are those from those expressions with which, when we say them, we draw close to Allah. When we say them, we draw close to Allah. When we say them, we draw close to Allah. Which expressions are those? Those expressions of istighfar. You don't need to say, but I didn't do anything. The Prophet did not do anything, alayhi salatu wasalam. And yet, in a single gathering, up to about 100 times they are noting him saying, Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. He was very mannerly with Allah. So ikhwa, from our manners with Allah is that we should regularly say expressions of istighfar. We should regularly ask for tawbah. Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. From the benefits of doing that, even when we can't remember committing a sin, is that it will keep you away from sin. You that you have not committed any sin, you are always saying Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya. This is what your mind is busy with. How easy will it be for you to now commit a sin? It will be difficult. And if it ever happens, you are quick to return to asking for forgiveness and pardon. So, ikhwa, let us say it repeatedly. Let us be ghafilun, people who become oblivious, forgetful of themselves regarding Allah. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. La takunu, Allah wonders, O people of Iman. La takunu kalladhina nasullaha. Don't be like those who forgot Allah. Fa ansahum anfusahum. Allah made them forget themselves. What did he call them? Ulaika humul fasikun. He called them fusak, sinful people. So ikhwa, one way to get away from this, not to forget ourselves. And that's why when a person is far away from adhkar, you see him, you'll be misbehaving. Because it's far away from remembering Allah. So if you say it regularly, Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya, innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya. Oh Allah, ighfirli, forgive me, wa tub alayya, pardon me. And accept my pardon. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. You verily, you are a tawwab, the one who absolutely accepts and pardon the slaves. You are a rahim. When you say this, you anta tawwab, you are also asking him to grant you tawbah. A rahim, you are also absolutely compassionate. You are asking him to be compassionate towards you. Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. The Prophet, in a single gathering, Ibn Umar said, will be counting him, say it up to 100 times. So it means if it was not a proper and a very beneficial way of asking for forgiveness, the Prophet would not be saying it so repeatedly. 100 times in a single gathering. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We can move to Hadith 619. In Hadith 619, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, Haddathana Muhammad ibn al-Sabbah. Qala haddathana Khalidun ibn Abdullah. An Hussein. An Hilalin ibn Yasaf. An Zadhan an Aisha. Radiallahu anha. In that isnad it said, Qalat, Aisha said, Salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ad-duha. Salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ad-duha. Thumma qal, Allahumma ighfir li wa tub alayya innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim hatta qala ha mi'ata marrah. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said rahimahullah hadathana Muhammad ibn al-Sabbah, that was Abu Ja'far ad-Dulabi rahimahullah. Abu Ja'far ad-Dulabi, he is Muhammad ibn al-Sabbah. He said, حدثنا خالد ibn Abdullah rahimahullah. He was reporting from Hussein. Hussein is not with Sin. Hussein is with Saad.
And that was Hussein ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sulami. Hussein ibn Abdul Rahman al-Sulami. And Hilal ibn Yasaf. He is reporting it from Hilal ibn Yasaf. Rahimahullah. Who said an Zadan. Zadan, that is his name. Abu Amr al-Kindi. Zadan. Zadan. He was well known. Abu Amr al-Kindi from amongst the Tabi'un. Amongst the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. I remember about a year ago, shortly before the last Ramadan, I mentioned this narration to some of the brothers and I told them, go and find out about who that man was. Zadan Abu Amr al-Kindi. You were surprised someone will bear that name, Zadan? Yes, from amongst the Tabi'un, amongst the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Zadan. Zadan Abu Amr al-Kindi rahimahullah. Zadan, let me say this about him before we proceed. He was from the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He was a very, very, very sonorous and popular singer. He used to sing songs and made jitter. When he sang a song, the people gathered around him in marketplace, for example. People gathered around him listening to his sonorous voices. He sang songs and he would be tapping the jitter as he sang the song. Zadan hada, this Zadan. So one day Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was passing by and he was surprised, why are the people gathered? What are they gathered around for? In Kufa. So he went there and saw that it was Zadan people gathered around. As Ibn Mas'ud saw him, he bursted into tears, radiallahu anhu. And then gradually he walked away. Zadan saw Ibn Mas'ud looking at him and bursting into tears. So he quickly dropped the music. This old man who just looked at me and then started crying, returning to his house. What have I done? I'm a young man. I have nice voice. People are enjoying my music and my jitter. So why is this old man? He is not enjoying it. He looked at me and he started weeping. What have I done wrong? That was even when musicians used to be very sensible and intelligent. So Zadan, he dropped his jitter. He ran after Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Before he got there, he had entered his house. Radiallahu anhu. He waited outside and he was asking for the people who resided in the house to help invite Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So he was invited and they met, radiallahu anhu. Zadan said, I was singing and the people were enjoying my song and I was playing the jitter. I saw you, sir. You came, you looked at me, you started crying and you left. I was surprised. What is it that I have done? People are enjoying my music. But you saw me and you were crying. Ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu, I was weeping because I felt that this voice, as sweet as it was, it could have been employed to read the Quran rather than sing a song. He said, my voice can be suitable for Quran. I say, yes. He said, Tubt. I make tawbah from now. I will not sing songs again. He began to come to the gatherings of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He learned the entirety of the Quran from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He memorized the Quran from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he became one of the Qurra, one of the reliable readers of the Quran for the people of Kufa. The same people he used to sing songs to. They were the same people now he was teaching the Quran. وَإِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَ لِذَاكِرِينَ. This is from the ways that Allah يَتُوبُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ. He will grant pardon to the servants. وَيَرْحَمُهُ and then he will show him mercy. So he granted Zavan pardon. He made Tawbah away from singing, and then he became a person who was teaching people the Quran. Zavan, rahimahullah. He was the one who reported this hadith, who said that our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, he reported it, citing her that it was upon her authority that Salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam duha summa qal. One day, our mother Aisha reported that one day Salla Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam duha. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam observed Salatu duha. Thumma qal. After he ended the salah, he began to say, Allahumma ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. The other one, he said, Rabbi ghfirli, the report of Ibn Umar. This time he was saying, Allahumma ghfirli. That is the difference. Meaning that both Allahumma ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim, or that you say, Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim, these are the ways to say it. So from the best ways to say istighfar is to say Rabbi ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim, or you say what? Allahumma ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Allahumma ghfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Hatta qalaha mi'ata marra. After salatu duha, the Prophet was saying it until he said it 100 times. So we have a major point of benefit here. That major point of benefit is about two things. The two of them are from the ways of the people who ask Allah for forgiveness. Salatu duha, observing salatu duha. As we are now in our own country, Nigeria, from where we speak, we are in the time of duha now. Duha starts from when the sun begins to rise. Duha starts from when the sun begins to rise. And it stops when the sun is up right on the horizon before it descends. When the sun descends from the horizon, that is the time for Salatul Dhuhr. But when that is, ulama refer to that as Zawalu Ash-Shams, when the sun goes away from the horizon, from the zenith. But when the sun is at the zenith, that is the time we should stop observing Salatul Duha. We will start observing Salatul Duha from when the sun rises. Salatul Duha is lawful from when the sun rises. And the earliest time for it is that time we refer to as the time of Al-Ishraq. Ishraq are those first rays of the sun that comes out when it starts to rise. Meaning that that is the earliest time that the sun rises. That is what we refer to as Waqtul Ishraq, the time of the first rays of the sun. So as the sun is rising, we are encouraged to observe Salatul Duha. And the best time to observe Salatul Duha is just before it stops. Just like 10, 15 minutes before the sun reaches the horizon. That time when the sun is hottest, before it reaches the horizon, hina tarmadul fisal, when the younger ones of camels feel the heat of the sun on their legs, that is the best time for Salatul Duha. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to observe Salatul Duha, and in a hadith that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, La yuhafizu ala salati duha illa awwabun. La yuhafizu ala salati duha illa man awwab. No one will regularly observe salatu duha except awab, a person who is regularly repenting. So one of the ways to regularly repent is to be observing Salatul Duha. We're in Ramadan now. Ikhwa try to observe Salatul Duha. Salatul Duha, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, La yuhafidhu ala salatul duha illa awwab. No one will be regularly observing Salatul Duha except awwabun, a person who is regularly repenting. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Wahiya salatul awwabin. Wahiya salatul awwabin. Salatul Duha, another name for it is what? Salatul awwabin. The prayer of awwabun. The prayer, the salat of awwabin. Salatul awwabin, let us note it. Some people refer to two units after Salatul Maghrib as Salatul Awwabin. It is wrong. Salatul Awwabin is what? Salatul Duha. Who said it? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That hadith occurs in the Mustadrak of Al-Imam Hakim. It also occurs in the Sahih of Al-Imam Ibn Khuzaymah. Rahimahumullah. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, لا يحافظ على صلاة الضحى إلا أواب. Nobody will be regularly observing Salatul Duha except those who regularly repent to Allah. Before you start asking me about it, Salatul Duha can be two rakat, two units. Salatul Duha can be four units. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will also observe it as six units, alayhi salatu wasalam. On the day of Fathu Makkah, Hani reported that the Prophet observed it as eight units. And then you can observe it also as 12 units. Salatul Duha can be two, it can be four rak'at, it can be six rak'at. It can be eight rak'at, it can be 12 rak'at. Two, four, six, eight, no 10. In a hadith collected by Imam al-Tabarani, this hadith is graded Hasan. It also occurs in Sahih al-Targhib wa al-Tarhib. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, Man salla duha rak'atayn. Whoever observes Salatul Duha as rak'atayn, two units of prayer, lam yuktab min al-ghafilin, he will never be written amongst the unmindful ones, careless people. Meaning, if you always observe Salatul Duha as two rak'ats, you will never be a careless person. So if a person is careless, encourage him to be observing Salatul Duha two units at least. Allah will remove him from those who are documented to be ghafilun. Man salla duha rak'atayn. Anyone who observes Salatul Duha as two units of prayer, lam yuktab min al ghafilin, he will never be considered from amongst the ghafilun, people who are mindless, heedless, and nonchalant. May Allah protect us. وَمَنْ صَلَّى أَرْبَعًا Whoever observes four rak'ats, yani صَلَّى الضُّحَى أَرْبَعًا Whoever observes Salatul Duha as four rak'ats, كُتِبَ مِنَ الْعَابِدِينَ It becomes counted as from it becomes counted as from the people of Ibadah. You want Allah to join you as from the people of Ibadah, you will regularly be making Salatul Duha as four rak'ats. Four rak'ats. Four rak'ats. وَمَنْ صَلَّى سِتًا Anybody who makes it six rak'ats, كُفِيَ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمِ He becomes suffice on that day. If you observe Salatul Duha six rak'ats, you finish Salatul Fajr in the masjid, you sit down there making adhkar, and after that you stand up to make 6 units, kufiya, you are sufficed on that day. You are sufficed of your risk for that day. You are sufficed for forgiveness for that day. You are sufficed for protection for that day. You are sufficed that you will not be useless for that day. You are sufficed. Allah grants you guarantee 6 rakats for Salatul Duha. وَمَنْ صَلَّى ثَمَانِيًا, the one who observes Salatul Duha as 8 rakats. كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ, 8 rakats of Salatul Duha. مَنْ صَلَّاهَا ثَمَانِيًا, anybody who observes Salatul Duha as 8 rakats. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْقَانِتِينَ, Allah will write him and count him from Al-Qanitun. The Qanitun are those who stay long on Ibadah. They are upon Ibadah, long upon Ibadah. They have kunut, waiting a long time upon Ibadah. May Allah count us from them and make this easy for us. وَمَنْ صَلَّ اثْنَتَيْ عَشْرَةَ رَكْعَةً, and anybody who makes Salatul Duha as 12 rak'ats, بَنَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ, Allah will build a house for him inside Al-Jannah. 12 rak'ats of Salatul Duha every day. You see, the path to Al-Jannah is big. It remains those who want to join it. The time to observe these 12 rak'ats, for many of us, it is not up to the time we spend to read our WhatsApp messages daily. Some of us, it is in the morning we read WhatsApp messages. The time to observe these 12 rakats is smaller compared to the time that you spend to read your WhatsApp messages. It is smaller compared to the time you spend surfing Facebook. It is smaller compared to the time you look around on Twitter. Ikhwa, it is smaller, wallahi, compared to the time you spend looking around on TikTok. And all of these things, you hardly get any rewards from them. In most of the cases, if you have 3 rewards, you might have conflagrated 10 things. You must have violated 10 things from the violations, the limits of Allah. If you gain 4, you might have violated 20. So instead of spending that time on that kind of a thing, why not divert it to Salatul Duha, 12 rakats every day? So for every day of your life, Allah is building a house for you inside Al-Jannah. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man salla asnate ashrata rakatan, man salla duha, anybody who observes Salatul Duha as 12 rak'ats. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house for him inside Al-Jannah. So Salatul Duha is Salatul Awwabin. Wa la yuhafidhu ala Duha, yani ala iqamati aw Salatul Duha, illa man awwabun, a person who is penitent, regularly asking Allah for forgiveness. Now, when you finish your Salatul Duha, what should I say? This is what the Prophet used to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma gfir li wa tub alayya, innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Allahumma gfir li wa tub alayya, innaka anta tawwabur rahim. I heard of our brother who, for about 20 years now, every day, after Salatul Fajri, he will be in the masjid making adhkar until the time of Salatul Duha. It is after Duha that he stands up and starts going to his office. He's a big man in the office, so you can't compare that with someone who has to resume office at 8 o'clock. But even at that, you find time, you are upon wudu in your office, you can quickly make 2 units of duha there, especially when you are not busy. Those times that your customers or your students or whatever, you are not busy at work, instead of sitting down and browsing, instead of sitting down and looking at WhatsApp, instead of sitting down to look at Facebook, why not quickly make 2 units of prayer? Why not quickly make 2 units of prayer? When you make 2 units of prayer, you can sit down on your desk and then you begin to say, Allahumma gfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. 100. Allahumma gfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Allahumma gfirli wa tub alayya. Innaka anta tawwabur rahim. And after that, you can raise up your hands to make dua. Allah forgive me. Allah bless me. My job, my school, my activity, my business, my market, my shop, if it is the shop that is the problem, my husband, my wife, my children. After Salatul Duha, you can raise up your hands and beg Allah again. I think this is one big tonic for us in Ramadan now. Beginning from today, don't wait till tomorrow. When we finish this class, try to make Salatul Duha, even if it be 2 rakats. If you make 2 rakats, good. If you make 4 rakats, better. If you make 6 rakats, you are guaranteed. If you make 8 rakats, Allah counts you as from the cornitune. And if you make 12 rakats, banallahu laka aw laki baytan fil jannah. Allah builds a house for you inside Al-Jannah. Don't wait till tomorrow. I will start tomorrow. Start today. May Allah make it easy for us and accept it from us from the acts of ibadah. Abba Abdurrahman.
Salawatullah alaikum ya shaykhana.
Amin, amin wa iyakum.
First question here is, assalamu alaikum ya shaykh. Must Salatul Duha be prayed together, or we can spread it across its time?
We can spread it across its time. You can spread Salatul Duha across its time. The time is long. The time is very long. Sometimes it starts around 5. Now Fajr comes earlier, before 6 o'clock. In many places, about 5:47, 5:48, Fajr. Now, it's about 5:47, 5:48 in many places, plus or minus 5 minutes. So add a maximum of 10 minutes to that. You observe Salatul Fajr. Usually in most cases, 40 minutes, 45 minutes after Fajr, it is time for Salatul Duha. So you can check it. I think the apps also have the time for Shuruq. So you can check it. If you're in Mecca or Medina, you can check it. If you're at home too, you can check it. So you sit down in the masjid after Salatul Fajr till that time, or wherever you observe the Salah as a woman. One of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Maimuna, she would end her salah, she would sit down there. I think something similar to that was reported regarding Juwayriya radiallahu anha. She ends salah, she would sit down there. Women, I hope you have a praying place in your room, in one corner in your room where you observe salah. After your Salatul Fajr, you sit down there and make adhkar. If you are there up to the time of Ishraq or Shuruq, and then you stand up to make 2 rakats of Nafila, you have the rewards of performing Hajj and Umrah. Tamatan, tamatan. Complete, complete, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. So you can remain there again. After another 15, 20 minutes, you make 2 rakats again. Your duha has become how many rakats? 4 rakats. In another 1-2 hours again, after cleaning, maybe the child, you know, got the diaper dirty. You clean the diaper, you change the diaper, you wash your hands with soap, you make wudu, you come back again. You make another 4 rakats. That is 8 in all. Tuktabu minal qanitin. You'll be written as from those who spend long time making ibadah. And if you make 10 rakats, banallahu laki baytan fil jannah. So every day you can own a house inside Al-Jannah. every day. How? By observing 12 rak'ats of Salatul Duha. Don't forget, there is Sayyidul Istighfar. There is Sayyidul Istighfar that can earn you a house also inside Al-Jannah. There is Sayyidul Istighfar. If it happens that the individual passes away on that day, he has a guarantee of Al-Jannah. Don't forget also there are the Rawatib. 2 units before Salatul Fajr, 4 units before Salatul Zuhur, 2 units after Salatul Zuhur, 2 units before Salatul Asr, and then 2 units after Salatul Maghrib. That is 12. You can come and say 2 units before Salatul Fajr, 2 units after Salatul Zuhur, 2 units after before Salatul Asr, 2 units after Salatul Maghrib, 2 units before Maghrib, 2 units after Isha. That's 12. These are the rawatib in the various forms you observe them. That one will also guarantee you a house inside Al-Jannah. So the gates are opened. It remains for us to benefit and make good use of our time. What really can be so unfortunate is that all these opportunities are there and then the individual does not use anyone. He has to be thrown into Jahannam. All these times that we mentioned for good deeds, he spent it browsing. He spent it looking at Facebook. She spent her own advertising gowns and shaking in front of cameras like a woman from the days of Jahiliyyah on TikTok. May Allah protect us. May Allah protect us. Ikhwa, please spend your time well, all of us. Let us spend our time well, more so in Ramadan. We get used to them in Ramadan, and then it will be easy for us to continue after Ramadan, bi-iznillah. Inshallah, we come back to class to complete Hadith 621 and 622 under the chapter about al-istighfar. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us. Abba Abdurrahman.
From another question, assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. How do I combine intention for a missed witri with Salatul Duha if I am repaying it at the time of Duha?
Yeah, that's also encouraged for 12 rak'ats. If the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam missed a witr in late night prayer, he observed it during the day. If you observe it at the time of Salatul Duha, you will have the reward of as someone making nawafil also at the time of Duha. It is lawful, inshallah. Is this clear?
Amen, Sheikh.
You have the intention of paying back your Qiyamul Layl. And it is already happening at the time of Duha. So you have the rewards of the one who is observing those number of rak'ats at the time of Duha. Because the meaning of Salatul Duha is the Salah you observe at the time of Duha. I hope that it is clear.
Naam, Ya Sheikh.
Naam. I mean, somebody is asking the hadith about 2, 4, 6, 8, and 12. Where is it found? We mentioned it. It occurs in the Mu'jam of Al-Imam Al-Tabrani, Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir. By Al-Imam Al-Tabrani, Rahimahullah. It occurs in Mu'jam Al-Kabir. It also occurs in At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. And Al-Imam Al-Albani graded it Hassan. And one of our teachers, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Umar ibn Bazmul, he graded it Hassan as well in his book on Salatul Tatawwu'. I hope that it is clear.
نعم يا شيخ.
نعم. The time is already far spent, Abu Abdurrahman.
نعم يا شيخ.
Can we have one more question from you?
نعم يا شيخ. It reads, it is on sarcasm. Unlike Nigeria, workers in countries like Canada have access to their retirement savings. Is zakat due on it if it is up to nisab?
Because it belongs to you. It is money you own. You keep it somewhere. It is usually drawn from your salaries. So they draw it from your monthly salaries and keep it somewhere for you. So because it is yours, if you have access to it, at the end of the 12th calendar month, if it's up to nisab, you pay zakah from it. Allahu alam.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi.
Ameen wa iyaakum. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.